Our text is in Psalm 139. Dropping down to verse 17, we'll look at this text first. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. The subject tonight is beginning the day with God. We live in an extremely busy society, and for most people, that alarm clock is a dreaded moment. It blasts you into the reality of another day where already you're late, already you've got a run to keep up, and it's a scramble. I get the idea that some of these hymns were written back in a more peaceful time. But we live in a hurried and busy day. And there's nothing we can do about it. That's the way modern life is. However, there's something about this text that I'd like us to ponder. When I awake, I am still with thee. There's a presupposition here that he ended the last day with the Lord. And he was praying to God in the night. And when he finally fell asleep, it was with the peace of being in the presence of God. And he awakes now to a new day, and it's not a jolt, it's not a blow, because he remembers the person he has been praying to and living for. And so when he awakes, he is still with him. Friends, that's a secret that should not be a secret. It should be the practice and habit of every one of us. We all need the grace of God. We all need his sustaining power upon us. And as we meditate on his holy word and pray to him about it, there's a transformation that takes place. And we are no longer a hounded individual rushing from this to that to the other. We're a person in communion with God, walking a pathway that he has marked out before us, and which he accompanies with us. And so, he wakes to the presence of God that he fell asleep with. God was with him, and the psalmist is sure of it. Friends, that's a lesson that all of us need to learn. We live in a horribly busy world. Schedules for everyone, responsibilities, endless tasks for every moment in the day, run here, run there, do this, do that. And when you finish the hours of the day, you're counting up, oh, I didn't get that done, and I failed to do this, and here's something else I need to do, and it goes on like that, doesn't it? Modern life is a difficult thing to endure. Gone is the time when the psalmist could sit on the hillside and watch his flock with the serene confidence that that was the task for the day. And when it was over, he led his flock to the fold, and he had no further responsibilities except to lie down in the pathway and see to it that no one passed over him to those sheep. But it was peace. It was the experience of the presence of God. Well, now we live in a different society. Everything is busy, busy, busy. Run here, run there, do this, do that, do the other. It's very easy to forget that God is still here. Oh, theologically, yes, we say he is omnipresent. We all know the right answer to that. Have you said anything to him today? Have you been maintaining a conversation with him this day? I'm sorry to ask an embarrassing question like that. For most people, they've been running here, running there, doing this, that, and the other. And moments for prayer are scarce. But we have to remember, friends, that everyone in the history of the world has had 24 hours a day, just as we do. Things may be busy. A lot may be going on. But God is still present every moment of every day, and He's listening. Big question, what are we saying? Now, friends, we need to encourage ourselves in this direction of talking to the Lord, of bringing Him into our life deliberately. Where you meet a difficult situation, talk to the Lord about it. Lord, here's something I'm not sure how to do. Give me wisdom here. Help me in this matter. Here's a person who's a pretty disagreeable scoundrel. Lord, help me to be right and have a right relationship with him. Whatever. Here's someone in deep need, Lord. Give me some help for this person. You know, the conversation never has to stop. It goes on. Beginning the day with God is a very important thing. You're not just waking up to another schedule, running here, running there, getting something accomplished. You're waking up to another day to walk a pathway with God. Now, friends, you can't get away from Him. He is everywhere, all the time. He is always listening. He can see exactly what goes through your mind all the time. And we must recognize to be so concentrated upon things in the world that God somehow gets shut out is a horrible mistake for the Christian. Oh, we all have responsibilities. There's no doubt about that. We have things we have to do, places to go, people to see, work to accomplish, yes, and so has everyone else in the history of the world. The psalmist had his responsibility. Perhaps it was a little more peaceful, except when the wolf appeared, then it got exciting. But beyond that, he had a more serene surrounding than we do. But he said the right thing. And we all know it in our conscience. It is wrong for us to become so wrapped up in worldly things that we forget about God. We all know that. I don't have to labor that point. But we all manage to do it. We get so involved in this, that, and the other, you know, somehow God disappears from the scene. And we have to get this done. And there's a deadline. We've got to work hard at it, and so on. We all know the feeling. The psalmist learned how to continue a conversation with God. He started it in the morning. When he woke up, it was not looking at an alarm clock. He was thinking in terms of the Lord, who had given him another day to serve. The Lord that he could thank for a night's sleep. The Lord that he could serve in some way in the coming day. And he started with God. And he continued with God, talking with the Lord all through the day. And in the evening, he could lie down weary, but satisfied that the Lord had been with him all day long, had never let him down, had always sustained him, and now he could lie down in sweet peace and sleep. Why? Because God was still with him. God was watching, and he had nothing to fear. Friends, we must recognize that the world is designed to distract us from God. It is a diabolic trick. to get us so filled with thoughts of this life and responsibilities here and pleasures here and things to get and places to go and all this. Everyone's life is just filled with these things. Not by accident. It is a worldly conspiracy to keep Christians from thinking about God. The old saints used to talk about practicing the presence of God. What did they mean by that? They meant that they deliberately thought about God. When they had things to do, they talked to the Lord about it. When they had people to see, they asked for wisdom and guidance. When trials came, they asked the Lord for help. And there was a running conversation with God all day long. Far too many Christians wake up in the morning, "Lord, bless the day." Click! They hang up and off they go running. And we have to get over that. There's no hanging up with God. He's still there. You can't get rid of him. Why let him stand there in silence? Why not converse with him while you are doing what you have to do? We all have responsibilities. Every one of us have places to go, things to do, responsibilities that we have to take care of. Why can we not talk to God about all of them? And in his presence, ask him for wisdom when we need it, or skill when we need it, or patience when we need it, or kindness when we ought to have it. And we can talk to him about these things all the time. Well, you say that's a good idea, but it's easier said than done. Oh, I know. You can get so wrapped up in what you're thinking about that you get run over by the traffic. We're all in danger that way. But let's face it. There are ways of keeping in our mind the presence of God. The old saints used to call it practicing the presence of God. It was a deliberate practice. They thought about God. They quoted scripture to themselves. I can remember my mother, who had much responsibilities as a busy housewife, as a piano teacher. There was a variety of things she had to do. And she was continually writing notes to herself and pasting them over the kitchen sink or pasting them on the bathroom mirror or pasting them somewhere else about what she had to do and things she had to pray about. So not only did she accomplish everything on her list, she had a good time praying with the Lord about all those things. She lived to be 100. Now, friends, keeping in contact with God, talking to the Lord, does not wear you out and shorten your life. It gives you peace, serenity, because you become aware that what you are doing is in his program. It is something that he is concerned about. And you can relax. The pressure is gone. He's going to see to it that you accomplish his purpose. And you see to it that you do the best job you can. And you walk with him and ask for guidance and ask for blessing and ask for his will to be accomplished. And then go forth serenely to do that. Friends, beginning the day with God is a very important habit to inculcate in our hearts. Now let me mention a couple of verses of Scripture for you. In Psalm 16 and verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Now here's the serenity of the psalmist. He was sure that he was going to accomplish the purposes of the Lord. He was placing the Lord deliberately in front of him. concentrating his attention upon the Lord. And because he is right there at his right hand for help and strength and wisdom, I shall not be moved, he says. Yes, he's not going to be sidetracked. He's not going to be diverted from the pathway. He's going to walk the path with God, and God is right there to help him do it. He was sure of it. Friends, that's exactly the attitude every one of us should have every day. God has a will for us. God has marked out a pathway before us, and he's right there with us all day long to see to it that we walk that pathway and accomplish his purpose, and he has the grace and the strength and the wisdom to do it all. Now, theoretically, we know that. But practically, we forget. That is not good. In Psalm 5 and verse 3, the psalmist says, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Here's a vow that he is going to start every day with prayer to God. He's going to start by looking up to the presence of God, seeking his blessing and guidance and help. That's a pretty good idea. That is a practical thing that every one of us can do, to start every day with prayer, asking the Lord for wisdom and guidance and help, and trusting that he will answer it. In Psalm 28 and verse 6, the psalmist says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications." Here he pronounces a blessing upon the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has heard his prayers and answered them. And this is every believer's confession, that when he has prayed in sincerity to the Lord and asked for help, the Lord has provided help. If I ask for testimonies, I'm sure I could get a pile of them. We've all seen the hand of God. We know he answers prayer. We know he is with us to help us. Why then do we forget to pray? Why then do we neglect walking with him, conscious of his presence, drawing upon the strength that he obviously has for us? Well, it's a trap. It's a trick of the devil to get us self-confident, to get us thinking about what I can do, how I can accomplish these things and get what I want. It's a self-centeredness. We have to learn how to completely disengage that attitude and ask the Lord, "Lord, what is it that thou dost want? How can I accomplish thy purpose? Give me grace to do all that thou dost desire." Right, now you're on the right track. Now you're saying something that the Lord can answer. Far too often our prayers are just, "Lord, give me this, give me that, give me the other." We've got the gimmies. And we need to readjust our praying. Praying is not just begging God for this, that, and the other. Praying is communing with the Lord, talking with the Lord. It's a great deal more involved than just petitions. And when we're communing with God and walking the pathway with God and his presence is sweet among us, the requests come naturally. "Lord, here's a fellow who needs the word. Help me to give it to him. Here's somebody who's in trouble. Help me to provide comfort, Lord." You know, that comes naturally if the conversation is ongoing. Far too often we see occasions like that and fail to do anything because we haven't talked to the Lord about it, have no idea how to help. And we don't ask. And so we don't find out. In Psalm 111 and verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, that fear is not slavish terror. That fear is reverence. Reverence for the Lord is the first thing that we need. the reverence of acknowledging Him as Lord of all, particularly my Lord, who has the right to tell me what to do and how to do it and how long to do it and what to do next. And instead of just plunging into things and with a battle axe trying to slay all the dragons and so on, it doesn't work that easily. God has to do it. If God doesn't accomplish the work, it will not be done. I have seen very dedicated soul winners who fell into the trap of just arguing with a lost person about getting saved. And you never win that kind of an argument. Nobody is argued into heaven. You have to ask the Lord, what's the right verse that this person needs? Give me wisdom, Lord, that I may show him the pathway that will meet his needs. And if the Lord brings that verse to your mind, now you've got a true sword of the Spirit to use, and your fleshly argument counts for nothing. The Spirit takes the Word and accomplishes God's will precisely, and your energy counted for nothing. It's God's grace and power and the Word that accomplishes His will. In Psalm 119 and verse 149, the psalmist prays, "Hear my voice according unto thy loving kindness. O Lord, quicken me according to thy judgment." Now here's the psalmist praying in submission to God's will, thinking about what God wants through him. And he's praying that God will hear his voice, not because he is so wise and has found exactly the problem that needs to be solved. No, he's praying because he's hoping in the loving kindness of God that will take his poor attempts at prayer and answer them by his wisdom and his grace and his power. And the brilliance of our prayers fades into insignificance. It is not how well you pray, it's how much faith you have in the one who answers prayer. I'm afraid many times God has to take a poorly phrased prayer that may come from the heart and answer that heart desire. Not much according to the prayer at all, but according to his perfect will. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8, the writer to the Hebrews gives this petition: "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." Now, that is one of the most important verses in all of the Bible. Very few people have memorized that verse. "Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." We need guidance. We need wisdom. We need God to show us the right pathway, to lead us properly. And he is fully able to do this. But we have our own will. I want what I want when I want it. That's the world. The Christian far too often comes to prayer with that same thing. This is what I need. And this is the pathway to it. And this is how it should be accomplished. And God doesn't do it that way at all. He may answer the prayer tremendously beyond expectations in a way that we never could foresee. How he answers prayer is entirely his business. He is not limited in any direction. And we have to recognize that. You don't tell God how to do what he needs to do. He will do it without advice. And far too often our praying is telling the Lord how to accomplish his will, giving sober advice that he ought to do it this way according to what I want. He ought to do it that way and conk that enemy over the head while he does it, and so on. We have all kinds of subterranean, shall we say, desires in our prayers. And we need to get rid of all of them. When we ask God to do something, He'll do it exactly as He sees fit, with infinite wisdom, with His kindness and patience. And we may wait a long time to see the answer. But if we ask in faith, believing, He will accomplish that. Now, friends, praying is one of the most serious things that we can do. Because in doing it, we are aligning ourselves with the Almighty. We say we are Christians and we are walking His pathway. All right, that's fine. That's a noble thought. We need Him to show us that pathway. Only He can do that. We need Him to give us the strength to walk that pathway. We haven't got it ourselves. We need Him to give us the wisdom to detect when the pathway varies and our steps are not exactly central. And He can do that if we are listening and not just telling Him what to do. Never fall into the trap of directing the Almighty in how to accomplish His purpose. He does it in perfect wisdom, with perfect timing, and accomplishes far more than we even know how to pray for. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, we need to remember the Lord's promise. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." Now, that's a different way of looking at prayer. The Lord says He stands at the door. He's not going to come in and crush the door and take over your life by force. He never acts that way. He stands at the door and knocks. And we hear that knock in a voice of conscience. I ought to pray. Here's something I should pray about. Where does that thought come from? The Lord gave it to us. Now, what do we do? Well, in most places, we pull out our list, you know, and start going through it. Lord, I need this. I need that. I need the other. There's a matter of alignment. We are going in one direction. The Lord may be going in a different direction. And we're praying for something that we feel is good. It's right. It ought to be done. But it won't be done down that pathway that we're thinking. It'll be done in a different way. And the Lord has to redirect what we're thinking of. And we don't give advice to the Lord of the universe. Do it my way. That's what we're always telling Him. And He doesn't listen to that, because He is infinite in His wisdom as well as in His power. He will do it His way. He will accomplish His purpose in a far superior way. It may take longer. It may occur in ways that we would never think of. But He will do it right. And it all has to be left in His hands. We're asking the Lord of the universe to accomplish His will. We don't tell Him how. We don't direct Him, "Do it my way." We ask Him to do it His way, with perfect wisdom, perfect timing, accomplishing everything He wishes to do in the process. And He's listening. "I will come in to Him and will sup with Him, and He with me." Oh, here's a wholly different attitude now. It's not just, "I want this and I want that and I want the other." It's, no, you're sitting down to fellowship. You're sitting down with the Lord of the universe and explaining what's on your heart and asking Him to fulfill these purposes that you have and pray for what is right. And He is listening. The supping together, the fellowship of a meal together. He's aligning you with His will. He's getting you over on the track where He can give you the answer, but it'll be different from what you're asking. You say, is that really an answer? Oh, yes, it is. And many times that answer is worth far more than what we have prayed for and the manner in which we have prayed. He will accomplish that perfectly. He'll do it in a way that honors Him and accomplishes divine wisdom. And for us, we have a tremendous benefit that we can sit down with the Lord of the universe and fellowship with Him and talk with Him about what's on our heart and listen as He imparts to us the memory of verses and words that may fulfill that prayer and accomplish the divine purpose. And it's a time of fellowship, a time of society, not a time of, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me the other, which you have to confess is pretty mechanical and demeaning to the Lord of the universe. I will come into Him and sup with Him. A fellowship, a meal, sustaining grace, strength for what's needed, and also the answer to prayer, and the accomplishment, not just of what I want, but of the divine purpose. He is working all things according to His perfect will. And when the answer comes from Him, it is a blessing. He achieves His purpose and blesses the believer and accomplishes far more than the believer was praying for, because he left it in the hands of God. Here is what the need is. This is what I see we need. Lord, accomplish Thy will. He's listening. The fellowship is there. You're not telling Him what to do. You're presenting the problems. Here are the burdens. Here are the things that need help. Lord, accomplish Thy will. Now you are praying. You're not just dictating a list. And this is the important part of prayer. Not just that you get answers to prayer, they will come, but that you're in the presence of God and you have the privilege of fellowship with Him, the privilege of hearing His word, and of having His Spirit organize your thinking into categories that God can bless and answer and fulfill His purpose. Beginning the day with God. When you wake up in the morning, let the first thought be, thank you, Lord, that you are here. In full control, able to accomplish the divine purpose. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. O Lord, forgive us that we pray so poorly. Forgive us that we are so selfish and so arrogant as to direct Thee in Thy almighty purpose. Help us that we may align our lives with Thy will and follow Thy word in humble obedience. And help us as we pray that we may pray according to Thy will, that Thou mayest accomplish that divine purpose, that souls may be saved, that Thy people may be built up in the faith, and that we have our hearts warmed and encouraged by thy presence and the power of thy word in our lives. Change us for the better, Lord. Make us what we ought to be, and help us day by day that we may start out every day with thee, not our own purposes, but to seek thy purpose. And give us the grace, Lord, to walk with thee all the day and come to the end with the blessed thought that thou art with us still and will be with us forever. Hear us, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.